of faith. The Prophet ﷺ even took an oath by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to stress this point. He said, "By Allah, he does not believe. By Allah, he does not believe. By Allah, he does not believe." He was asked, "Who, O Prophet?" The Prophet replied, "One whose neighbor is not safe from his harm. In fact, good deeds will not benefit their owner, even if they are many. If he used to hurt his neighbor, a neighbor of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who used to mistreat him and make life difficult for him. Despite this, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued to treat the neighbor with kindness and respect. And eventually, the neighbor was so much moved by this behavior that he became Muslim. He is reported to have said, "Whoever believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the last day, let him honor his neighbor. And whoever believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the last day, let him be generous to his guest. And whoever believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the last day, let him speak good or remain silent." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised the Muslim ladies that even if their offering is somewhat small, they should not think that it is not suitable as a gift. For it is said in an Arabic proverb that al-jud min al-mawjud, which means that generosity is done from what is possessed. Those who receive a gift from their neighbors should not look down on it and consider it insignificant, but they should gratefully accept it. It should not be forgotten that such simple behavior is a feature of worship. One should remember the Prophet's orders and advice about good treatment to the neighbors and then amend his intention accordingly. In fact, his companions tried to live in accordance with this principle.
Ya Nabi salam alayka, Ya Rasul salam alayka, Ya Habib salam alayka, Salawatullah alayka. Ya Nabi salam alayka, Ya Rasul salam alayka, Ya Habib salam alayka,
Abdullah ibn Umar, one of the companions of the Holy Prophet, slaughtered a sheep. He told his family, "Have you presented a gift from it to my Jewish neighbor? For I heard the Apostle of Allah, peace be upon him, saying, Jibra'il kept on commending the neighbors to me so that I thought he would make him an ear." Another example of Prophet Muhammad's concern for his neighbors can be seen in his teachings about the importance of sharing food with them. He is reported to have said, "He is not a believer who eats his fill while his neighbor beside him goes hungry." Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught that Muslims should be considerate of their neighbors' rights even when they are not present. For example, he is reported to have said, "Whoever believes in Allah and the Day of Judgment, let him not harm his neighbor." Well, another important lesson we can take from our Prophet is that he would visit his neighbors when they were sick, help them with their chores, and even participate in their celebrations. One day, the Prophet's Jewish neighbor became ill, so the Prophet visited him. Anas reported this incident, saying that a Jewish youth used to serve the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The youth became ill, so the Prophet went to visit him. The Prophet sat at his head and said, "Enter Islam." The youth looked at his father, who was near him. His father said, "Obey Abu Qasim." Consequently, the youth entered Islam. When the Prophet ﷺ left, he said, "Praise be to Allah who saved him from the hellfire." Overall, Prophet Muhammad's teachings and actions regarding neighbors emphasize the importance of treating them with kindness, respect, and consideration. And this is something that we as Muslims should aspire to practice in our own lives. Okay, dear listeners, it seems that our time for this episode has come to its end. Until another episode, I bid you farewell and may Allah protect you all. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Be like Muhammad, live like Muhammad, see like Muhammad did. Be like Muhammad and live like Muhammad and give like Muhammad gave. Shafi.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
علم فقه از علوم شریفه اسلامی است.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
The Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
Self-purification is the most significant
factor.
Imamate is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Welcome to another episode of the program, Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Hashimi Najat. Please stay tuned. The first important deed to be asked about on the Day of Judgment is Salat. According to the famous Hadith, if our Salat on the Day of Judgment is accepted, all other deeds will be accepted too. But if our Salat is not accepted, there will be hardly any other way for other deeds to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Based on these hadiths, even our charitable deeds will not be accepted if our salat is not accepted by Allah.
إن الصلاة إذا ارتفعت في وقتها رجعت إلى صاحبها.
The effect of one salat on time will be straight back to him from Allah in a bright and shining manner. The salat on time will tell its reciter, "Good for you that you safeguarded me, so Allah will safeguard you." However, if someone postpones his salat to a later time, the effect of salat will be back on him in a dark manner. Such salat will tell its reciter, "You spoiled me, so Allah will spoil your deeds." All these narrations show the significance of salat on time. Thank you. Thank you very much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page, for listening to this episode of the program Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Hashim Nejat. To find out more about this program, log on to our website, parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
A senior Iranian lawmaker has said,
contrary to Washington's claims, America's
President Raisi has emphasized that
U.S. sanctions have failed to extract concessions from Tehran.
Iran Today.
Thousands of people pack their bags and travel to other countries every year. Some of them do it to relax, others travel to see the world. But in recent times, there has been a new trend for traveling, medical tourism. Cost is one of the influential factors in choosing medical tourism and target destinations. Health tourists usually seek professional treatment in medical tourism destinations such as Iran, where they can find high-quality services at a more affordable cost. Healthcare in Iran has grown rapidly and thrived in the past decades, and the country now boasts hundreds of state-of-the-art hospitals and clinics. Because of the low cost of treatment, high-quality medical services, and famous cosmetic surgeons and doctors, Iran has indeed become a preferred medical tourism destination in recent years. As a flourishing industry with a substantial impact on the healthcare industry and tourism sectors, as well as the overall economic impact, health tourism has in effect become an important national agenda for Iran that focuses on generating revenue and improving the global status of the country.
We are at Mehrad Hospital, one of the prominent medical facilities in Iran's capital, with over 40 years experience delivering medical services and one of the active players in the field of health tourism. Faced with high healthcare costs at home, tourists from the U.S., Canada, Europe, Russia, and Arab countries in the Persian Gulf and the West Asia region fly to Iran to save up to 90% in treatment costs. While many of them travel to Iran to undergo cosmetic treatments, it is also common to find other patients seeking dental care, fertility treatment, organ transplant, and other medical treatments. To take a closer look at Iran as a health tourism hub, please join us on this edition of Iran Today. The Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development describes medical tourism as the practice of traveling to another country or region to receive medical treatment or procedures.
The reasons for medical tourism can vary, but often include seeking lower costs for medical procedures, accessing treatments that are not available in the patient's home country, or looking for more specialized or advanced medical care. There are many other names used to describe medical tourism, such as surgical tourism, health tourism, and medical travel.
First of all, in health tourism, there is a large range of services, such as lifestyle services or prevention services, diagnostic and screening or medical services, and palliative or rehabilitation services. What is more important is medical tourism, which includes a part of diagnostic services as well as medical and palliative or rehabilitation services. In this type of tourism, we have three main sectors. One is the recipient of the service, and the other one is the service provider, and the third person becomes the service facilitator.
Global medical tourism market size was about $110 billion in 2022, and it is forecasted to reach about $250 billion by 2030. This industry's compound annual growth rate will be 10.8% from 2023 to
2030. We have various treatments such as spinal cord lesions or the treatment of infertility, which is very advanced in Iran, and of course the bone marrow transplantation. But we should not forget beauty services. Iran is highly advanced in that area. We rank first in the region in terms of ophthalmology. We are ahead in all the scientific bases of medicine. We have patients from Europe or America who come to Iran to receive cosmetic treatments and so on.
According to a report released by the National Center of Biotechnology Information, Iran is one of the top 10 countries for medical travel. Iran's Ministry of Health and Medical Education also estimates that they will have around 1 million medical tourists visiting the country by the end of this year. Iran's medical tourism market has also generated an estimated $1.2 billion in revenue so far.
1 million نفر ما در حوزه بستری جای چیز داریم ظرفیت داریم که
In the field of medical tourism we have both outpatient and inpatient services. Our inpatient capacity is equivalent to 1 million tourists and nearly 3 million outpatients.
Iran offers a wide range of medical services, including cosmetic surgeries, heart surgeries, eye surgeries, infertility treatment, and more. Health tourism in Iran is most famous for cosmetic treatments, including facelifts, nose jobs, abdominoplasty treatments, and transgender surgery, along with others.
We have the best medical professors. In internal and general surgery, our technicians work in advanced laboratories. This shows that if we want to expand our medical tourism industry, all the government organs of the country should join hands. This goal is not only for the medical community. A health tourist, for example, does not come to Iran only for medical purposes. To attract health tourism, the country's transportation system plays a role. The banking system also plays a role. Tourists should not have to worry about carrying cash. In the field of hoteling, accommodation, entertainment, food and etc. should be suitable for the needs of tourists.
Over the years, health tourism in Iran has experienced an influx of international patients for the following reasons. First, Iranian surgeons are ranked among the best in the world. Many are also affiliated with Western surgeon communities, including American and European societies. Second, Iran medical tourists save significantly more on treatment compared to countries like the United Kingdom and the United States. Third, hospitals and health facilities in Iran are equipped with high standards and up-to-date equipment to perform safe and high-quality medical procedures.
Iran can be labeled as a world hub for surgery. The country has plenty of accredited medical universities and has made great progress in the sciences. Its rivals in health tourism, like India, enjoy the use of up-to-date medical equipment but cannot keep up with Iran in terms of the quality of the medical services provided. Tehran is known as the capital of rhinoplasty in the world. For the sake of comparing treatment costs, if you intend to have rhinoplasty in the United States, you'll need to spend at around $4,500. In India, it will approximately cost $2,000, while you can have the same plastic surgery in Iran at less than $1,000.
Iran's inbound health tourism market is constantly expanding, enabling agencies and healthcare providers to grow and expand their services. In fact, Iran has experienced a 15-fold increase in medical tourism over the past 10 years, and the country aims to increase its annual visiting health travelers to 2 million by 2026.
If the Islamic Republic invests well in the field of health services and have long-term and comprehensive plans in this field, the income can replace the oil income. Statistics show that this industry earns $3,000 to $7,000. For instance, if you calculate $7,000, it's equivalent to 100 barrels of oil, and this is while you have not paid for production and you have not exported anything. This industry has a direct impact on the entire country's economy and job creation.
Aside from Europeans and Americans, people who come to Iran for medical care are mostly from neighboring countries like Iraq, Qatar, Turkmenistan, Bahrain, Kuwait, Afghanistan, Azerbaijan, Tajikistan, Saudi Arabia, Oman, and Pakistan. Tehran, Mashhad, and Shiraz are the most popular Iranian destinations for medical travel. The country has around 200 hospitals with a wide range of advanced medical technology, offering high-tech medicine and diverse specializations. Iran is highly advanced in infertility treatment, stem cell therapy, dialysis, heart surgery, and ophthalmology. As a medical tourism destination, it has credibility in various other medical fields as well. Those include, but are not limited to, cancer treatment, pre-IVF consultations and investigations, orthopedics, joint replacement, dental treatments, neurology and neurosurgery, and obesity treatment. Iran is also one of the top destinations for disease diagnosis and comprehensive health checkups.
Iranian scientists progress in parallel with the growth of science worldwide. And because we have the right technology base and foundation, and we have a proper health infrastructure, our scientists grow on a daily basis. We are now progressing very well in the field of regenerative medicine, which is a new branch of medicine in the world. Or in the field of personalized medicine, we have made very good progress.
Medical and surgical facilities available in Iranian hospitals are also highly developed. It is known for its innovative hospital equipment and superior medical engineering. Almost all of the country's private hospitals have high levels of imaging facilities, specialized clinics, 3D ultrasound, MRI, etc. Medical specialists working in the country must pass extensive training and obtain professional certifications from Iran Medical Council and the Ministry of Health before they can be allowed to perform any medical and surgical treatments. Hospitals and clinics are also overseen by the Health Ministry and other related authorities. In addition, Iranians are known for their authentic hospitality and the love of outsiders. This spirit is easily felt in the medical travel industry, to the point that they easily make you feel at home.
This is Iran Today. Iran Today is broadcast every week on Fridays and Saturdays. The series analyzes major political, economic, cultural, and social events concerning Iran. So don't miss the opportunity to listen to Iran Today on IRIB English Radio.
There's plenty more right after a quick diversion into world media. Welcome to the news section of the program. I have selected three excerpts from three news websites, starting with eTurbo News. Cancer treatment is a medical tourism opportunity for Iran. Health tourism is a goal for the Iranian province of Golestan, having three nuclear medical facilities and world-class medical specialists. Despite recent sanctions, Iran hosts an average of 1 million medical tourists every year. Medical tourists traveling to Iran are mostly from its neighboring countries, including Iraq and Afghanistan. 200 Iranian hospitals have a license to accept foreign patients for medical tourism. Iran is well known in the world, having credible surgeons and physicians, cutting-edge medical technologies, high-tech medicine, and diverse specializations. Medical procedures are affordable by any standard. Iranian nurses and doctors are known for their friendly hospitality and ethics. Let's Visit Persia says, Iran health tourism growing fast. The capital of the Fars province, Shiraz, that is already one of the top tourist destinations in Iran, is focusing on health and medical tourism to boost its economic prospects. The deputy head of Shiraz University of Medical Sciences mentioned that the majority of foreign tourists visit Shiraz for eye and plastic surgeries, and the hair transplant is another popular purpose for them. Shiraz Health City soon will be established in the western part of the city, Shiraz MP Ali Akbari said. The visa waiver programs for citizens of Oman is another step to boost the Iran medical tourism sector in particular. The Iran Health Tourism Council says 105 hospitals have been licensed to establish an international patient department and increase services to foreign tourists. According to Tehran Times, developing health tourism in Uramanat leads to economic growth, experts say. Economic and social development of the UNESCO-designated Uramanat, a city in Iran's Kurdistan province, can be achieved through strengthening health tourism in the western Iranian region, a tourism expert has said. Uramanat draws significant numbers of medical tourists and sightseers from Iraq's Kurdistan region so that the development of health tourism in Uramanat can contribute significantly to its economic and social development. Uramanat is famous for its rare medicinal plants, vegetation, breeding of leeches and scorpions, infrastructure for health tourism, and its traditional medicine, she explained. Stretched on the slopes of Sarv-Abad County at the heart of the Zagros Mountains and shared between the provinces of Kurdistan and Kermanshah in western Iran, the Uramanat cultural landscape embraces hundreds of villages, 106,000 hectares of land, and 303,000 hectares of surrounding properties.
My name is Aya Al-Nuami and I come from Iraq. I have systemic lupus. This disease put pressure on my kidneys. My body started to feel heavy. I came to Iran to receive the proper treatment, and thanks to the efforts of the doctors, I've gotten better. I got the results and my condition is very good. Iran is famous for accurate and fast treatment. Iran is the best. With the help of the doctors, I got better. Their behavior was very good. The sole of one of my feet started to swell. It gradually came higher and reached my knee, and after that it pressed on my chest and hurt. I advise patients to come to Iran from anywhere in the world for treatment.
From among prestigious destinations for medical travel, picking Iran might seem odd, but it's completely the opposite of that.
Definitely, when political tensions arise between two countries, there will be disruptions in the issue of visas and the entry of dear patients into one another's countries. Of course, until now, because these interactions and visits are for the purpose of treatment and have nothing to do with political discussions, they've been done, and so far we have not had any problems so far. With regard to the letters that are given to the patients from medical centers and hospitals, getting visa has become very easy for them. The visas are medical visa and not a tourist visa.
وقتی که مراجعه میکنند از کشورهای دیگه به کشور ما
When medical tourists from other countries come to our country because the services they get are airport to airport, therefore the representatives of the medical centers here always accompany the tourists, and even after their treatments are done and they return to their own countries, our service providers do follow-up checks. As a result, the medical tourists feel that Iran's health system cares a lot for them, and this makes them very satisfied, and therefore they immediately introduce Iran to their relatives and friends who are in need of medical treatments.
While politics and the media in the West have fueled fear and relayed a very skewed image of Iran and its people, Iran is a country of pleasant surprises and beauties and has some of the most welcoming people in the world.
Well, this can be reviewed from two aspects. From the aspect of medical tourists who visit Iran, in fact, they have some concerns, which is understandable. But when they arrive in Iran, after a short time, when they see the hospitality of the Iranians from the very beginning and then the attention that our doctors pay to them, all these give them composure. All patients who return to their own countries admit that Iran is really a very safe place and the right choice for treatment. The Honorable Ministry of Foreign Affairs provide them with T visa, which is the treatment visa that the patient can get very easily in less than 48 hours. We do correspondence with our own agencies in their own countries. They have easy access to visas. In the patient's own country, he can get a visa and travel to Iran. We have airport transfer services for them here. We have translation services for them where a translator is at the patient's disposal 24 hours a day, and the patient will never feel alienated or lonely.
Moreover, cutting-edge medical technologies, high-tech medicine and diverse specializations, credible doctors and a trusted health system, along with super affordable procedures, has gotten Iran on the global medical travel map as one of the favorite destinations these days. A search in historical documents shows that the age of medical tourism is as old as the medical treatment itself. People of civilized societies like Sumer, Babylon, Rome, Greece, and Iran knew about the healing advantages of natural mineral hot springs. Traveling to locations with these springs was the beginning of medical tourism. In light of that, Iran has long been a major center for the development of medical knowledge, so that just a few traditional medical schools in the Asian world have been as comprehensive as Iranian medical schools. Hippocrates, the father of Greek medical science, admits how some of his medical theoretical foundations have been adapted from the Asian Iranians. Long history and advanced civilization together with a hunger for immortality paved the way for medical knowledge to flourish in Iran. Asian medical schools founded in Iran, such as Jondi Shapur, have been teaching medicine for thousands of years. And physicians such as Avicenna have been in the vanguards of medical development through centuries.
We have very generously provided all our experiences to other countries. Our colleagues at Mashhad University of Medical Sciences trained a number of Afghan doctors for kidney transplants, and today they're doing it in Afghanistan's Herat.
So Iran, with its various natural resources, is also an attractive destination for health and wellness services, such as spa therapy, preventative care, rehabilitation, and the treatment of chronic diseases. There are about 300 mineral-rich springs across the nation with the potential to be used as health towns, water therapy centers, and rehab facilities, etc.
Rigid laws and regulations in the Iranian medical system support the health and safety of the healthcare environments in the country. Hospitals that work in the international health market are required to obtain the necessary licenses from the Ministry of Health under the International Patient Department that require hospitals to comply with international standards for the provision of health services to medical tourists. Consistently, full consultation and a comprehensive follow-up care, also a hygienic environment, and the clear up-to-par outcomes of medical practices are the least that international patients can expect from Iranian medical facilities.
Iran is a country of safety.
Iran is a safe country for foreign travelers. This is undeniable. Statistics show this. This is an important point, especially in order for the patient to feel at ease and to travel to Iran with peace of mind and undergo the treatment. A treatment contract is signed with them at the very beginning, and thanks to these measures, tourists make sure that in Iran everything is organized and systematic. I mean, services are defined, costs are known, and everything is accounted for. And therefore, the health tourists will only be concerned with their treatments and nothing else.
Official records have shown that the medical tourism in Iran is growing 15% annually on average. It is estimated to be worth more than $2 billion in 2023 and more than $5 billion in 2030. So Iran has become one of the most popular destinations for a variety of medical treatments. Because even though Iran is a developing country, it provides immediate world-class standard medical services to medical travelers. Because cosmetic surgeries happen to be the most popular reason that brings many medical tourists to the country, and Iran has some of the most experienced cosmetic surgeons in the world. At the end of the 20th century, an 8-year war between Iraq and Iran took place, which left 1 million people killed and several million wounded. This war caused a severe increase in the number of people in need of reconstructive surgical plastic surgeries, and this became a path to improve the cosmetic surgery science and an increment in Iranian plastic surgeons' experiences. Since then, Dr. Cyrus Osanlu, known as the father of plastic surgery in Iran, taught a new generation of plastic surgeons. Many of his students today are among the most famous plastic surgeons in the world. Additionally, figures show that people can save a considerable amount of money by getting their treatment in Iran. For example, Turkey, Iran's primary competitor in the West Asia region, is approximately 50% more expensive, while the South American and other medical tourism hubs weigh in at 50 to 100% more than Iran. That said, some patients just want to kill two birds with one stone with the help of medical tourism. In Iran, they could have their medical treatment and have a great vacation as well.
Given the fact that part of the treatment that tourists receive should involve psychological aspects, so we focus on ensuring that the patient is provided in this area, and therefore we plan tours for them within the city. These tours are suitable for their treatment, visiting historical places and shrines. This has been very useful for their treatment.
Iran, with a history of more than 5,000 years, is home to some of the greatest Asian attractions and traditions that includes 23 UNESCO World Heritage Sites and dazzling natural landscapes all over the country.
That's all for today. Thank you from the whole team. Please do tune in same time next week and each week after. Don't forget to leave your comments and topic requests. Till next time, take care.
In the limelight.
Several days of protests in France, and there is no clear indication of the end of the protest. And many believe that this incident is even more serious than the 2005 riots. Some believe the French protests are a form of political dissent expressed by a generation of teenagers whose lives are deemed inferior, cheap, and meaningless by the French state. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for the second part, please. Tehran Times wrote in this regard, another death behind the wheel due to French police shooting. This is not a new story for the French. This time, the lottery of death was named a 17-year-old boy. The Niles death by direct police shooting has sparked violent protests and riots throughout the country. After several days, there is no clear indication of the end of the protests, and many believe that this incident is even more serious than the 2005 riots. In that year, after two teenagers were electrocuted while hiding from police, France was convulsed in turmoil for 3 weeks. One important difference is that, unlike 18 years ago, only the suburbs of major cities were involved in protests, while this time, major cities are also burning with the anger of protesters. Emmanuel Macron, the president of France, who had recently been freed from widespread protests against the new retirement law, sees himself in a difficult situation. The appearance of the situation shows that he is currently trying to take a middle ground. He is not fully cooperating with angry people, nor does he appear to be suppressing them entirely. Macron's critics say the current situation is the result of his government's policies on immigrants. They accuse Macron of being lenient on immigration laws and say that France is on the brink of a civil war, and the situation is similar to a jungle rule in the country. Some French media believe that the teenager's murder is a product of a law passed in 2017. This law, which was passed after the deadly attacks in 2015 in France, gives the police more power to control drivers, inspect them, and use firearms. Statistics show that after the passage of this law, police shootings of drivers have significantly increased. However, it seems that the root of the events in France these days should be examined somewhat deeper. The fire and anger burning in France is the product of a combination of several dark realities with high explosive potential. Lower-class teenagers and youth, mostly immigrants and people of color, feel that this incident could easily happen to them. They deeply and increasingly identify with the 17-year-old victim of this tragedy. The next point is a general emotional feeling that has been institutionalized and accumulated in this lower class. Despite all the protests, their voice does not seem to be heard, and apparently nothing is going to change. They have clear signs of this feeling of frustration. When they were in shock and grief over the unwarranted killing by the police, Macron and his wife were shaking their feet to the rhythm of music at Elton John concert. Another issue is systematic racism and high degree of police violence in France, to the extent that the police in the country have become famous, at least among the police forces of European countries. Africans and Muslims are the main targets of this aggressive and racist behavior. Another point that has a fundamental role in France's colonial history, especially in Africa, the wounds of French colonization have not yet been healed. The victim of the unwarranted shooting was of Algerian descent. 1.5 million Algerians were killed during France's colonization of Algeria that lasted for more than 130. And until a few years ago, the skulls of Algerian resistance leaders were kept in the Paris Museum of Anthropology. Although the teenagers in the suburbs of Paris are fourth-generation immigrants of African descent, the heavy shadow of French colonial crimes still weighs heavily on their identity. Attaching the metro line to these poor suburbs does not heal this old wound. The fire and anger of 2005 ended after 3 weeks with a state of emergency, travel ban, and imprisonment of those who ignored it. perhaps the French government can once again use the same tactic to control the fire caused by the unwarranted killing. But this fire will not be extinguished, and it waits for another spark.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
The last savior.
Oh, the savior of mankind, please show.
To the designer of the human civilization that is established on the unity of Almighty Allah. To the redeemer of human volition and thought.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome to yet another episode of The Last Savior. This is your host, Zainab, and today we have had the pleasure to be with Dr. Ali Alavi. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Very warm welcome, sir, and it's a pleasure to be with you, dear listeners. Dr. Ali Alavi is a researcher in the field of Mahdaviyat and a research scholar in the Hafsa Ilmi of Qom. And today we are going to discuss some brief questions about Mahdaviyat with Dr. Alavi. Well, Dr. Alavi, everyone has a desire in his life to, especially the believers, especially the waiters of Imam, to see Imam in their lifetime. And they're eagerly waiting for the time of his reappearance. So let's discuss on this. What is the time of Imam's reappearance?
Actually, no one is allowed and no one is able to clarify a date for the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam.
Right.
Because the time of reappearance of Imam is among the hidden science and hidden knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is exclusively at the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's be clear to say that when we say at the hand of Allah, it does not mean that Allah has a hand and it is in His own hand. It's just a metaphorical statement that says whenever Allah wishes,
yeah,
that it can be actually widespread to the people and it can be accessible to the people. So even in a hadith, the infallible Imams have told us no one is allowed to do such a thing. And whenever a person did such a thing, just try to accuse him of being a liar.
Yeah.
And we have a famous statement that وَكَذَّبَ الْوَقَّاتُ. Those who are specifying a certain time for the reappearance of Imam are the liars.
Now, since we can't fix a time for the reappearance of Imam, and you said that it's only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who knows the time of reappearance, but there are so many people who so much desire to wish, I think everyone, all the waiters, desire to wish Imam at least once in their lives. Can we actually see him in the time of occultation?
Seeing Imam and having the honor and the blessing of visiting Imam alayhi salam is a great honor and great chance that happens for some. And even in the supplications in the du'as, like the du'a al-ahd, the supplication of Ahd, we recite it every morning. But we said, Allahumma arina talat al-rashida. Oh Allah, give us the chance to see this great blessing of God on the scene of the earth. So it is a great honor and great chance for us to happen. But are we actually, do we have any taklif? Do we have any, let's say,
Duty
to just to run all of our activities and actions around visiting and saying Imam alayhi salam? I remember once a person came to the late Ayatollah Bahjat and asked him, what should we do in order to have the chance and tawfiq of visiting Imam alayhi salam? Ayatollah Bahjat replied him very beautifully. He said that, what did you do with the present Imam that you have it with you? Have you actually cared for the Imam that you have it with you? That is something which is equal to the Imam alayhi salam, that is for Al-Quran.
All right.
Did you perform your duty towards Al-Quran? Because we have in a hadith that Imam is the equal to Al-Quran, right?
Yeah.
This is Quran al-Samit and the other is Quran al-Natiq.
Yeah.
That is the speaking Quran and the silent Quran.
Right. That's a beautiful answer by Ayatollah Vajid.
Yeah.
And we will be discussing more with you after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned.
I can feel your eyes like the sun shining behind the clouds. I need a morning to shatter this long night forever. I need a hero to stop this thousand-year-old
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is the last same year. We are with Dr. Ali Alavi and we're discussing something very interesting with Dr. Alavi today, and that is, can we see Imam in the time of occultation? Dr. Alavi, you replied this answer and you quoted Ayatollah Vajid in a very beautiful way that have we done justice, have we performed our duty towards Al-Quran that we are going to, we only ask, when can I see Imam?
Yeah. So this was Ayatollah Vajid's answer, but let's refer to Al-Quran and see that the story of visiting Imam of the time, Imam of the age, is very similar to that of the story of Yusuf the prophet, because there are some similarities between the story of Yusuf and the story of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam.
Right.
And we have in hadith too many cases that actually they have
some
shown
similarities.
These similarities among the these two noble personalities. The same way that the people were waiting. I mean, the same way that his father Yaqub was actually was crying in the in missing his son. And this son was not an ordinary son. Actually, it was a prophet. He was a prophet of God. You see, so the same way the people are actually going to cry
desperately
and
waiting.
Yeah, in grief for missing the Imam of the time.
Yeah,
it's very similar to that of the Yusuf. But at that time, even the brothers of the Yusuf, when they went to Egypt and met him, فَعَرَفَهُمْ وَهُمْ لَهُمْ مُنْكِرُونَ. He knew, that is, Yusuf the prophet knew them.
Yeah.
And we have even the hadith, Imam Zuma alayhi salam knows everything about us. But we, I mean, the problem is with us, that we don't have the tawfiq to know the Imam.
All right.
You see? So the Imam himself knows everything, and knows actually about us everything. The same way that Yusuf knew his brother, they did not know him. Even the people, I mean, the ordinary people.
Yeah.
They did not know this is a prophet of God, but he knew too many things about the people and that even whatever an imam or the prophet knows about his nation.
Yeah.
So what is our duty? Is our duty to strive for visiting Imam alayhi salam or no, to do whatever actually pleases Yusuf alayhi salam, right?
Yeah.
So they could do something, at least to please Yusuf, not to actually to deny whatever Yusuf said and Yusuf did in the past. They even came and denied whatever he did.
Yeah.
And they said, no, he was a thief and he did so and so. And
so on
they
and so forth.
They were in front of the prophet of God. I mean, they did not know him. Yeah, I mean, the brothers of Yusuf. But they were denying the realities. So, God forbid, are we like that? I mean, we are actually denying whatever we have to do in front of Imam. And we are not doing our duties. We are not observing halal and haram and whatever is on our shoulder.
Yeah. So
and
there
now,
are some similarities between the time of Prophet Yusuf and also Imam Zama. And this discussion is getting interesting. But let's take a short break and we'll be back in a while. Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is the last savior. We have Dr. Ali Alavi with us, and we are talking about can we see Imam in the time of occultation? And here we reached a point where we have a comparison between Prophet Yusuf and Imam of our time. Yes.
So we said that it's true that visiting or seeing Imam alayhi salam is a great honor. It's a great tawfiq. But what is our duty? To do and to leave all of our activities, our whatever is on our shoulder, whatever we are bound to do in this world, just around visiting Imam alayhi salam. No. Our duty is to follow the rules and regulations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever is on our shoulder. Following, at the time of occultation, following a just, let's say, jurist at the time of his occultation, who is going to be a deputy of Imam.
Yeah.
I mean, general deputy I'm talking about. Not a specific one like the,
yeah,
like the ones that were at the time, at the dawn of his occultation.
Indeed.
So it is our duty to follow whatever he says and to follow the Allah's order that has issued for a Muslim to follow. This is our duty.
So what you're trying to say over here is that seeing Imam is not a major thing. What is a major? To realize your duty and to obey that and actually to...
We have perform. To understand what is our first and foremost duty. Then we can, step ahead for the next duty. We say that, visiting and seeing Imam is a great chance and honor.
Yeah.
There is even nothing greater than that. But yeah, is it my first and foremost duty to step forward for that? The first thing, in case I observe the halal and haram of God and in my life, then automatically I will be having this honor, a chance to visit Imam alayhi salam.
Exactly. You remind me of that great scholar who went to Thursday night to perform ibadah just with intention of seeing Imam, and then at last he sees Imam in one of the funeral prayers of a woman, and then Imam meets him and tells him, like, you did a great deal of efforts to see me, but if you wanted to make it very simple, you were supposed to live the life of this woman. And that woman was a woman who had not been out for some 20 years just to prevent her hijab, because there was some ruthless rhyme at that time who would not allow women to come out in hijab. So sometimes there are very simple things we can do and achieve that place in the hearts of Imam. And maybe, as Imam said to him, that maybe I will come to see you rather than
very
you
true.
Coming to see me.
Definitely. Because we said that Imam is more kinder than the
parents.
So he is the one who comes to see us, because parent is usually missing his children, right? Usually it is the relation is like this. Parents are usually missing their children, not children missing their parents.
Yeah.
I mean, at least mostly it is like that. So the idea of visiting Imam is an interesting idea that actually can make a good, I think, market for some. So we have to be cautious. We have to be careful not to be involved and indulged in such fake issues to go, to change the reality of our duty to something which is not right. I mean, we were asked to be a good servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in his prayers, أَشْهَدَ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. That is, he is an abd for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he is a messenger.
Rasool, yeah.
So we were asked to be a good servant of God first.
Yeah.
If we are a good servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we shall have the tawfiq of visiting Imam alayhi salam. But our first and foremost duty is to be a good servant of God. What to do? To perform what is on our shoulder. What is halal and what is haram.
The least thing we can do is to be on the state of taqwa.
Definitely. And majority of those stories and narrations that have been heard and narrated and stated about the visiting and seeing of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam shows that the chance actually usually comes from the side of Imam, the same way that parents are going towards their kids and children, right? Usually this is Imam that permits you and is after you to search you to go. It's not, our efforts to find, to do something so that we become, ready for visiting of Imam alayhi salam. When we have done our activities and duties well, we shall have the chance to visit Imam, and it is from the Imam's side, alayhi salam, and it, we shall have the chance from his own side, not from ours.
All right, so, and we should have one thing in mind that, all right, if I'm making a force to see Imam, do I have that face-to-face Imam?
Definitely,
so
yeah.
That's a very important thing.
I'm always afraid of the same statement that was issued by Ayatollah Bahjat, rahmatullah alayhi, that in case I want to see Imam, what should I tell him? If he asks me, what did he do with Al-Quran, that he was thirsty of seeing me?
Yeah.
If we are thirsty of reading and pondering the Quran, then we shall have the chance to visit Imam Ali.
Yeah. So yeah, inshallah, may Allah give us all the opportunity to recite Quran, to contemplate in it, to ponder in it, and actually to apply it in our lives so that we have that face-to-face Imam. Thank you so much, Rafa Ali Alavi, for being with us. Thank you so much, dear listeners. You are listening to IRIB English Radio. Until another session, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Where is the rising sun? Where is the spring of life? Where is